Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Andy, it's great to have you with us. So, two games in, Andy, what do you know about the team you broadcast for?
Auburn played a very poor first half of football last week against San Jose State. And then played a much better second half, but did not come out of that game, you know, with just feeling like you have a ton of momentum getting ready for the toughest part of your schedule, and it starts with the Nittany Lions on Saturday. So there's some questions about this team. They made a lot of mistakes in the first half, penalties, threw a couple, both of the quarterbacks threw an interception in the first half. Auburn was down 10-7 at the half. Played much better in the second half of play. And if that's indicative of this Auburn team, this can be a fun day on Saturday. If Auburn goes out and plays as it did in the first half, yeah, it could be a very long day for the orange-clad Tigers.
Are they going to wear orange?
I don't know. We're wearing orange. I don't know if that's a big deal here.
I know. That's why I asked.
That's huge. Yeah. I mean, there are some folks that believe that that's the reason that Auburn was not very good in the late 70s is because they wore the orange jersey twice. I mean, if they do, it will be very interesting to see the reaction. I think the younger you get, they love the idea of the orange jersey. The older established fans do not. My wife is one of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think the players like it. And I think they're toying with people, but I can't tell you one way or the other right now. I think they will wear an orange face mask.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they're going to wear the orange jersey. Yeah. If they do, it's an historic night or historic day.
Well, Penn State will be wearing white helmets, white jerseys, white pants, just so you know. It's
as we would expect.
They played a game with Maryland. And the game was in Baltimore where the Ravens play. And Maryland decided they wanted to wear their throwbacks to 1961. Red jerseys, numerals on the helmets, the whole thing. So I'm doing the broadcast with Jack, and I said, and Maryland's wearing their throwback jerseys. I explained. Says Penn State's wearing their throwbacks. I said, oh, wait a minute. Those are the Penn State jerseys. So there you go. We know Bigsby and Hunter. Alston, by the way, you know, fans haven't seen him here yet, but obviously I've seen him on tape. When you watch that running game, how good can it be?
I think it can be outstanding because I think Tank Bigsby, one, is and Jarquez Hunter, both are healthy. Yeah. And they were about midway through the season, neither one of those guys was healthy a year ago, and Bigsby still rushed for over 1,000 yards for Auburn. And I think he got healthier late in the season, but through a good portion of the season, he just didn't look like the same guy. And there's no question that Jarquez was hurt about midway through the season as well. And they're both very good backs. Good size, about 6 foot. They're 210, 202. And it's a good offensive line. It's not as good as it would have been if Nick Broms had been able to stay healthy and would have been playing in his sixth season at Auburn. But
right,
he got to about the last week of preseason camp, and it's just an accumulation of injuries over his career. And he decided to hang it up, and one day he'll be flying for Delta. His right. Dad's a Delta pilot, and he's studying to be a Delta pilot as well. So, and really a great, great young man. He'll get married next March, and I hate that he's not out there. I think this would have been a really, really good offensive line with Nick. Tate Johnson is a junior. He's from the same high school as Tank Bigsby at center for Auburn. And I think has played well in his first two games. His father, his uncle, Jim, was an all Big Ten player at Purdue,
yep,
as a matter of fact.
Yep.
And Cam Stutz, the right guard, is a brand new piece to this puzzle as well. He has moved ahead of Keandre Jones at that right guard spot. The other guys are back for Auburn up front. But Auburn's run game is the most important part of the offense right now. No question about it.
Last year, the fans saw Bo Nix. He's now at Oregon. Robbie Ashford was at Oregon last year. He's now with you. TJ Finley backed him up last year here.
Right.
So tell me about TJ and his progress and what Robbie Ashford with his speed adds.
Well, T.J. Finley has been Auburn's starter since day one this season and took over for Bo Nix when Nix suffered a broken ankle in the loss to Mississippi State last season. So he has been the starter since. He has admitted that probably physically and mentally he wasn't ready to be the starter a year ago when he took over for Bo Nix. And although he played well at times, he also struggled at times, and Auburn finished the year on a five-game losing streak. I think he's a better football player this year. He has thrown an interception in both games. He's throwing at about 65% this season. Auburn's passing game is not prolific by any stretch at this point. I mean, he's thrown for 279 yards and one touchdown this season. It doesn't even come close to comparing to what Sean Clifford has done for Penn State. He's a big guy. He's 6'7".
Yeah.
And has dropped about 8 or 9 pounds, so he's down to 250 right now. And he runs better than you might guess. You know, at the end of last year, he was a bit hobbled, too. He had a bum ankle himself down the stretch of last season and was pretty immobile for Auburn. But I think is a better quarterback for Auburn. And then Robbie Ashford, as you mentioned, transferred in from Oregon, where he never played football. He played 2 years of baseball. He was the number one baseball prospect in the state of Alabama coming out of high school. And he gives you he is a true dual threat quarterback. And he has only thrown 10 passes this year, but he has 13 carries for 129 yards. And if he gets to the corner, he has sprinter's speed for Auburn. Good size. I mean, he's 6'3", 6'4", 212 pounds. He's good size, but it's his run game, and it's a different deal. And in, at least in the first two games, he's been in the second series. So it's not as though they wait for a situation. And he's been in on the second series starting deep in Auburn territory, too. So it wasn't necessarily a specific set that they were looking for. Whether that's the case on Saturday remains to be seen. But but as I told you when we talked earlier, I don't be surprised if he's not in the ballgame early and Auburn goes to a little bit of a different package at that point.
A guy I really like is John, I mean, he's an older player, John Samuels Shanker, the tight end, H-back. As a blocker, I feel like he's a security blanket for the quarterbacks. Is that accurate?
I would agree. A year ago for Auburn, he turned in a record-setting performance for tight ends. A school record, 33 catches for 413 yards. Both of those are school records at Auburn. Auburn's had some good tight ends, but it's never been a prolific passing team to the tight end. And Shanker could have gone on. He played baseball for Auburn for a year.
Yeah.
Good first baseman, but decided to come back and then decided that he was going to concentrate fully on football. Auburn's tight end room is deep.
Yeah.
Luke Deal and Tyler Fromm and Brendan Frazier and even Micah Riley Ducker are guys that you could see. And there will be times where you may see a triple tight end set on Saturday. But, yes, Shanker right now is the safety blanket for Auburn from a passing perspective. He's not going to stretch your defense. He's not a huge guy, you know. But he is one of those seniors. He's married. This is a mature young man, I guess I should say. And has turned into a really good receiving tight end for Auburn.
Andy, I watch Hall 29 on video, and I see an NFL player. What do you see?
Well, he could have been an NFL player this year.
I agree.
And listen, there was all kinds of turmoil here in the winter. It was well publicized. But guys like Shanker and Derek Hall, who you just mentioned, Owen Papo, Auburn's middle linebacker, who was injured in the Penn State game a year ago.
Yep.
All of those guys could have gone to the NFL, transferred somewhere else, and all those guys decided they wanted to come back. And I think that says a lot about Auburn University. It says a lot about this program, and I think it says a lot about this coaching staff. And Hall is a delight to talk to. He is one of those team leaders. You will see Derek at basketball games, women's basketball games, baseball games. I mean, he's a presence on this campus. He wants to be a leader. And listen, we know, I mean, in this day and age, if you're the best player, that doesn't necessarily mean you're the leader, though. this guy is the best player on the defense, I think.
Yep.
And he is a leader on this team. And as a result, he's one of the team captains voted on by the Auburn team.
Yeah, no, I think when you go to the line of scrimmage, you got to say, where's 29 every time?
Yeah.
The other guy's Cam Riley. I look at him. I feel like Riley watched him in the Mercer game at San Jose State. He looks like he's just so much better than a year ago. What's your thought on him, Andy?
He is about 15 pounds heavier, stronger, and he's 6'5".
Yes.
And he's long. He has range. I mean, he can run. And it's his time. It's his opportunity. Jacoby McClain was that other linebacker a year ago. You'll recall he was ejected in the game there at Happy Valley.
Yep.
And when McClain and Papo were healthy, Auburn was really, really good at linebacker. Papo was injured in that game a year ago, is healthy now, and Riley just gives them a different kind of – he's 6'5". He's a big presence, and he is around the ball. He had 16 tackles in game one against Mercer. He had 14 all of last year.
I have to ask you about, we know Brian had a tough offseason. He got through it. There's going to be a new athletic director. So what is the state of the overall program there because of the offseason for both at Auburn?
I'll start with the athletic department, and Auburn named its interim athletic director yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Yep.
Rich McGlynn, who is an associate athletic director, but has been Auburn's compliance officer since he came on campus. And Rich has moved into that interim athletic director role right now. And now the search for a permanent athletic director moves forward. It will be led, and from everything I can tell, the new AD will be named by Auburn's relatively new president, Dr. Chris Roberts, who was the former dean in the Samuel Ginn College of Engineering at Auburn. I think it's about as good as you can be in this situation. Alan Green was a very popular man here, a popular man in the athletic department. But I think he saw the writing on the wall as far as what his future was going to be at Auburn and decided to step down. And so Marcy Girton, who is on the executive staff, was named the acting AD until Rich McGlynn was named the interim AD yesterday. And now the true search, if it hadn't already begun, it begins in earnest right now. It was a tough winter. It was a tough winter for this football program and certainly for this head coach. I think he came out of it well, though.
Yeah.
He is very self-assured. He is confident in his plan for Auburn football. And I think these guys really like playing for him as well. And I don't think you can underestimate. You shouldn't underestimate this team and the ability and the desire to play for Brian Harsin and his staff.
Well, I think the fact that so many guys stayed, that tells you a lot. I mean, that to me is the big part of it.
I mean, there were a couple guys that left, but a lot of these guys could have gone somewhere else, and they decided they want to be here.
That's right. Finally, what does this game mean to the Auburn fan base? It's not an SEC game. It absolutely is not Alabama, but Penn State's never been there. Is it excitement? Is it curiosity? What is it?
It's probably a little bit of both. I think the Auburn fan, the Auburn family, loves to have a team like Penn State on this campus. And especially after going, and there were a lot of Auburn people that I've talked to going around to various alumni groups that were at Happy Valley last year and were really impressed with that atmosphere and that game and were treated well by the Nittany Lion fans, and they're going to treat the Penn State fans well this weekend here. But they want those folks to experience what a game day is like on the plains on a Saturday. And I think just the fact that it's Penn State, I mean, it's a big name. And this, you know, after two games against Mercer and San Jose State, that Auburn fan is ready for a marquee game.
Yeah.
And this is the first one of those. And now – and really, from here out, Steve, the rest of this schedule is a gauntlet because it's Penn State, Missouri, LSU, on the road, Georgia, and Ole Miss before Auburn's off week. Auburn still has to go to Alabama. It still has to go to Mississippi State, and it still has LSU and Arkansas coming here, and Texas A&M all coming here. So the schedule gets really rough, and it starts with Penn State Saturday.
The Auburn fans that came in here last year were phenomenal people, so I can't say enough good things.
Auburn fans had a great time, there last year, and they want Penn State to come in and have a great time, and they want the same output or the same outcome of a year ago. The home team wins.
Andy, what a pleasure. I can't wait to see you down there on Saturday. Thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
We'll see you on the plains on Saturday.
Sounds great. Thanks.
Take care.